So we have one Advent candle lit today. Meanwhile, the days are getting darker and colder. There's a hymn called Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers that says, the evening is advancing and darker night is near. Even so, this candlelight will get brighter each week, reminding us that even in the darkness, Christ is the light of the world. At the beginning of chapter 13, it describes a terrible time before the end. In verse 24, it says, following that distress, and then skipping to verse 26, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. There are signs of the end times, but no dates. Earlier in chapter 13, there's a bit of a list of possible signs: deceitful false saviors, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, persecutions. Verse 7, Jesus said, even with these signs, the end is still to come. So we're not quite there, even if there are signs. Verse 8, he said, these are the beginnings of birth pangs. He talks about the fig tree. When the leaves come out, you know summer is near. I don't think figs grow very well around here, but I thought of those daffodil shoots that come up in late winter. It's still winter when we see those green shoots appearing in the frozen and barren ground. It's still winter, and there may be more ice and snow. There may be a lot more ice and snow. But we know that spring is on its way when we see those daffodils popping up. 2020 feels pretty end timesy, doesn't it? It's been pretty apocalyptic as far as years go. In the United States, at least, we've had record-breaking wildfire and hurricane seasons. That derecho in Iowa, I didn't even know what that was till that happened, those terrible winds. And, of course, our very favorite global pandemic, along with economic slowdown, racial and political tensions, and at times violence. It's been quite a year. But this isn't the worst hard time, and we don't know about the future. Things could get worse. I feel really bad saying that. Things could get worse. Beginning of Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. That line is displayed on the wall of a chapel at the Dachau concentration camp memorial near Munich in Germany. A reminder today of just how deep the depths can be when it comes to evil and suffering. And also, God's sense of time is not ours. We are still in what Jesus calls one generation, verse 30. So that was almost 2,000 years ago that Jesus said, verse 29, it is near, right at the door. 2,000 years is not my idea of it is near, or one generation. And of course, Jesus clearly stated here and elsewhere that no one knows the day or the hour of his return. Signs or no signs, no one knows except God the Father. And Jesus warns us that we will get distracted when it seems like he's taking too long to return. He gives the example of a man who leaves his servants in charge while he's away. Everyone has a job to do. Someone is supposed to be posted at the doorway watching. Shouldn't be a problem, right? Or when the cat's away, well, the mice maybe play a little bit, maybe get distracted. 20 years ago, I worked for this tech startup company in California. And the founder of the company went on vacation. It was a small company at that time. I think it's pretty big now. In those days, it was small. The founder went on vacation, and he left his dog with the office manager. And I gotta say that this dog came to work every day. He worked all the time. If he didn't bring his dog, he would never see his dog. So the dog usually rested quietly in the owner's office. But with him gone, the office manager and the marketing guy were playing catch with the dog right behind my desk. And I'm trying to answer the phones, and I had to signal to the marketing guy, who I actually looked it up. He's vice president, senior vice president now. He's super important in this big company now. I had to get his attention. I'm trying to talk to someone on the phone, and they're making the dog bark because the dog thought it was lots of fun, of course. What would our tech startup founder guy have thought had he walked through the door at that moment while the dog's all riled up and I'm trying to talk to a potential customer? It's easy, it's too easy to lose focus on the job that God has given us when it feels like he has gone away for a long time. When we're weary or impatient, tired of waiting, wanting God to act in more obvious ways, wanting God to meet the needs and some of the wants that we have. But good things are worth the wait. And the waiting God calls us to is an active waiting, not a passive or sleepy waiting. Jesus gives clear instructions in this chapter. I found 5 commands between verses 33 and 37. Be on guard. Be alert. Keep watch. Do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. And Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6 says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Picture it. You're on the night shift. You're watching the clock. You're trying to stay awake and do your job, but you're also eager for your shift to be over. You're alert for danger, but so ready to go home and rest. Waiting with hope, knowing the night can't possibly last forever. And when the light barely appears in the east, you're so tired, but also eager and even excited. Even more than that, that's how we wait for the Lord. We feel maybe a little bit bored and antsy, distracted, dozing off, tired. Maybe we feel like we're drowning in the depths. The night seems so long sometimes. But we're waiting in faith and expectation and strong hope. Jesus will come back when God says it's time, and all shall be well. Looking at verse 26 again, back in Mark 13. The people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth. This language is taken from the book of Daniel in our Old Testament that anticipates the Lord God coming to judge the earth. For those serving themselves, this is terrifying. For those longing for God to restore creation to wholeness, justice, and peace, God's judgment is good news. Again, that hymn, Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers, says, our hope and expectation, O Jesus, now appear. Arise, O sun so longed for, above this darkened sphere. With hearts and hands uplifted, we plead, O Lord, to see the day of earth's redemption that sets your people free. Those who trust in Christ long for his return. And finally, this morning, we're not to watch the signs of the end times in the sense of obsessively and fearfully noting each disaster. It is okay to take breaks from the TV or from doom scrolling. Don't watch for the disasters. Watch for the light, the coming light. Watch for Jesus. We're on the lookout for what he's doing in our lives. We're looking for bright spots in our world, for good things happening. And we're expectantly and hopefully waiting and longing for Jesus to come back. This time not as a tiny, vulnerable baby, but in all his power and glory to reign over all the earth and make things right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we confess that we are not very patient people. We want what we want, and we wish we had it yesterday. Help us to wait on you, to watch for you, to focus on what you are up to, knowing that you could come back at any time. We want to be ready to welcome you. When we get distracted or lethargic, wake us up. Get our attention, draw us back to worshiping and serving you again. We long to see you in all your glory. May that hope keep us lifted up today, buoyed. May that joy energize us in the work that you have given us to do. Amen.